Well, hello everyone, and how are you all doing today? Are you doing good? Are you? How's everyone on Patreon doing? And on YouTube? Are you doing good too? This is going out to you both. It's going to be on Patreon first and then on YouTube's later. So I hope you're all in the mood for some fun, for some stories, and for some positive energy. Are you? You know, this summer I seem to be suffering from hay fever, and it's a lot worse than I have before, you know. I actually looked into it, and apparently what has happened in Ireland and the UK is a thing called a pollen bomb. And I know what you're thinking. Bzzz, flowers everywhere. You know, but as serious as it's actually a pollen bomb up over the countries. And apparently it happens when the summer starts too late. You know, we had a very cold spring and a start to the summer, and then it just kicked in. And by God, is it warm here in Ireland and England. It is unbelievable. I mean, it went up to 32 Celsius the other day here, and I think that's the first time in like 50 years or something like that. So we're all boiling leprechauns. We're like hiding underneath rocks and, you know, shade and, you know, the farmer's tans and like walking around red. we all have lovely dark complexions. We all look very sexy over here at the moment. But, you know, it's like, whoa, it's amazing where they're all together. But, you know, the downside is the pollen count is really, really high. And as I said, it took my voice away. It took my voice away. But I got it back. I got it back. And with the help of some antihistamines, I am taking Sudafed and stuff like that just to, you know, keep myself from going insane. But it's just first world problems. And, you know, if I know Ireland, like I know Ireland, it will last about another 2 weeks and we'll go back into the hurricane season again. No, we don't have hurricanes here, but we get a lot of rain. So I'm actually looking forward to the rain because I don't have to put up with this. Anyway, I've got a lot of catching up to do. Lots of it. You know, some of you know that I had a hectic month. Of the last 4 weeks, it's been like unbelievable between work and family stuff. And, you know, my aunt died about 3 weeks ago. And I lost two friends as well in a month. And so it's been challenging, to say the least, you know. But, and that's without including the stuff that was going on my channel. That was going on at the same time, actually. And I nearly lost the channel, and it was just like, it just added stress that I didn't need, you know. But it sorted out now, for now anyway, hopefully. And I know some of you have been asking what happened to my videos and why did I delete them. And the simple answer is I was forced to take a lot of them down by YouTube because their views changed about my ASMR audios, about the boyfriend audios and stuff. And I tell you, it was those kisses, lads. You know, they're deadly. Look, and moans. Ah. The world is going to end because someone kisses and moans in an audio. Isn't it really sad? Isn't it? You know, all the shit that's going on at the moment, they're like focusing on someone that's making a little sound over his mouth. For God's sake. Like. But, you know, I had to take the notes, I said, but what I did is I created a new platform to house the more raunchy audios. And I call that Sugar. I just had so many audios, you know, I had hundreds of them, and I was like, what the hell am I going to do, you know? So I decided to put the raunchier ones on Sugar, and the raunchier ones are on Spice. So now there's two Patreons, there's one Sugar and one Spice, and everything nice. They contain everything nice. So the both of those are over 18, and hopefully that'll keep them safe, you know, and keep them from being taken down, you know, and where no one can enjoy them. So it's safe there, as I said, and that's cool. And I also have stuff on Amazon, you know, I have some audiobooks still there. You can check those out too, but only if you're over 18. Those are available. So having said all that, I'm far from done on this channel, you know, far from it. I have lots of romance to do, comedy, ASMR, and all that jazz. And I will be toning them down a little bit, you know, just to keep them within the guidelines. I mean, even though, like, I'll be completely honest, and I showed people on Patreon this, like, they took down one audio called Bedtime Stories, The Fireman's Read. And I, for the life of me, I went over and over the audio, I listened to it, and there was no sex in it at all. There was no, you know, sexy parts. There was one joke where I alluded to a little willy joke. And it was so mild-mannered, you know. There's nothing happening in the audio. I just saw two people laying in bed, and one person is telling funny stories and jokes, and that's it. And they classed it as pornography and took it off the channel. So I mean, it's hard for me to know what's allowed and what's not at the moment. But I think it's just, I just have to be more careful and not moan too much. So that's that anyway. It's not going to stop me at all, so don't worry. So as I said to you, my aunt died about 3 weeks ago now, I think it was, and so I went off to England to a tender funeral, and in usual style, lots of stuff happened there. I mean, it's unbelievable. Most of it was centering around cabs for some reason. I don't know why. Like, it was like every time we got into a cab, something would happen, and it was like, and that would lead to something else, and it was like, oh my God. So, it was a lovely ceremony there, and I know my aunt would have loved it because she was such a bright and funny and warm lady, and she used to love listening to my stories as well. I used to tell her stuff when she used to come home, and she was being stitches, because like I've stories forever, I can go on and on and on. She would have really loved the ceremony, as I said, because it brought up a lot of her own wit and her own banter, which is very similar to me and my family. It's amazing that it kind of runs down through the family, it's all the same kind of like sense of humor. But the morning that like the night before, I was working night shift, and so I had to finish like a bit early, and I'd finish like, I think it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and get a plane. It was like a six, so I had like about an hour and a half sleep, and I just jumped on the plane and went to England. And what I did is I wanted to get a cab right away, I wanted to get off the plane, get into a cab, get to the funeral, boom, 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 it had to be done. And my dad was coming with me, so I collected my dad, we went to the airport, all good, got onto the plane, flew off to England, jumped off the plane, into the cab, flying, and like, yes, because we had like about 70 miles, 70 kilometers, I suppose, to go from the airport to the my aunt's place. So we're inside the cab anyway, and we're chatting away. And next thing, I looked up the road, and I spotted this kind of like checkpoint. I was like, what the hell is this thing? Is this a drink driving checkpoint or what? So we got flagged into it, and when we got flagged into it, like these guards are standing there, and they have safety jackets on, safety road safety jackets, and I'm like, whoa, it's a checkpoint for the cab. And I didn't know at the time, but in England, apparently, they do that a lot. They check up the safety, the tires, they check the bulbs, they check the brakes, they check all this. So they're checking the car anyway. And we were told stand outside, and we're up against the wall, and we're like, whoa, what's going on here? And then we're thinking as well, we're really pressed for time, so we can't, like, we're impatient, but we don't want to seem rude, and we're like, fuck. And we're going up to the safety guy, and we're saying, look, we don't know what's going on here, but we really need to get to this place because we're, feeling. He's like, oh, no problem. So he gets the cab driver to call back to his base and order another cab. But I'd say there was a bit of, hassle going back and forth. Then they were probably fighting with the safety guys and saying, look, we're not sending out another cab, let this cab go. And it was getting really messy, and we're just stranded in the middle of, I don't know where we were in London. Like, we were just like, I don't know, just in the middle of nowhere out in the street, and then like, well, in the middle of somewhere really, and like, oh my God. So instead of being impatient and rude, like we were, dosing the lads up a banter, the safety fella, he was like in stitches at us, we were slagging about the car and stuff like that. But when he inspected the car, he found a slash in the tire, and that's why they wouldn't leave us go, because they said if we drove like 2 or 3 kilometers up the road, the wheel would have blown out, and that was it, like we were in a crash. So we were like, holy shit. We're waiting there anyway, and we're getting worse and worse. But eventually, another cab comes, and we get into that, and we actually make it to the funeral. We're only like a few minutes to spare, literally. Like, we had to actually get out of the cab, which was, it was very uncomfortable, and actually go straight into the funeral, because we thought we'd get back to our hotel, we'd get changed, and that enough. Luckily, we were kind of dressed nicely, so it was okay. And we got into the funeral anyway, and into the ceremony, and it was really, really nice, as I said. Like, it was really sweet, and it was lovely and touching. So then later that day, we ended up going back to a bar that my cousins had hired out for the day, and there was a meal there, and there was some tributes and stuff like that, and it was really, really sweet, and it was lovely to see my cousins as well, and how together they were. And it's always like, when someone dies, you see the kind of legacy they leave after them, and you could see it in them. They were really proud, and they were really strong and together, and it was amazing to see that. So we had our meal and stuff like that, and then You know, I really love London, like I really do, and I always feel at home there, you know. I really love the people and all that, but what I can't kind of get is the fast pacedness. And I get that in most cities, you know, it's not just London, like in New York or anywhere like that. I'm kind of like, oh, what the fuck is going on? Why is everybody running around? Bah! And like that. Because I'm the kind of, I'm the type that likes, you know, quiet villages and, you know, streams and Irish music and mount, give me a mountain, like give me a mountain with some grass and a path going up and then wander up that for the day. So busy cities kind of disorientate me, you know, I'm kind of looking around and it's just too much for my brain to process because my brain fires very quickly anyway and it's just adding to the mess, I suppose. So later that night anyway, I was with my dad and my uncle and we had to take a cab out from that pub and get back to the hotel, which is probably like, I'd say probably about 15 kilometres away. When we actually booked the hotel, we got someone to book it for us and someone over on that side. And there was, I don't know what happened, like it was like, there was no hotel close by or something, but they just booked us a bit out, you know, a good bit out. Maybe it was just more cost effective, I don't know. But so we got into the cab anyway and I gave the guy the directions and that was grand. So it was probably a few minutes later, like we're up the road and he just like, you know, a few minutes later, like probably 10K up the road and he says, oh, you're there, you're at your destination. And I'm like, I was like very suspicious. I was saying, no, we're not, you know. And he's like, no, you're there. And I said, where is it? And he goes, just up there. And he wouldn't entertain me. So he just stopped in the cab and I was like, okay. And I just paid him because I kind of believed him as well, you know, at the same time. And I was like, okay. Because he's like, he's just up there beyond this. And I was like, okay. So I got out of the cab and he just drove off. My uncle and my dad got out as well, of course. He didn't take them with him around. And I'm looking at my phone and I tap in the name of the hotel and I'm like, holy shit, he dropped us 5K away from, you know, where we were supposed to be going. And I was like, oh my God. So here I am like in you know, in the middle of nowhere in London, one of the boroughs, I don't know where it was, with my dad and my uncle and they're after a nice few beers. You know, I don't drink, so I'm sober and I'm stuck in a really strange place. It's like 1:30 in the morning. And the traffic is unbelievable. It's so lively. And I think that's what happened to the guy. He just saw the traffic and he chanced his arm. He just stopped the cab and just whipped around and went, you know. So there's like sirens and, you know, people everywhere. And I'm like, oh, God. And these two that I'm with then, my dad and my uncle, they're looking for another bear. And you're like, oh, God. So anyway, they wouldn't say no. And we ended up in this bar. And it was a very interesting bar, to say the least. We're very interesting people. And they were just drinking and talking about working, you know. They were, you know. And after a while, and I was like, oh, please get me out. Because I was hanging, lads. I was like, you know, 2 hours sleep, maybe an hour and a half. And I was hanging. I was like, oh, God. Like, this is probably 36 hours. I was on an hour and a half sleep. And I was like, oh, please get me out. So they said, let's go. And I was like, yes. But then they wanted to go out for burgers. And I was like, oh, no. Because I knew that was another hour. So we come outside the bar and there I am with my dad, right, who's like, he's very bad asthma, you know, very bad. And my uncle had a hip replacement probably about 6 months ago, so he's kind of still kind of slightly limping. But the thing about these people, and like, they just still think they're in their 20s, you know. They were really tough when they were young, you know, really hard, and they still think like that. They're like that, you know. And like, lads, you're not, you're pushing on, you know. So anyway, they ordered our food and I get my drink and while they're waiting, my dad goes outside and he has a cigarette, you know, hence the asthma, of course, you know. I know. But he's having a cigarette, like, and then I'm kind of talking to my uncle, but I'm looking out the window because I'm always watching, you know. I'm one of these people that, like, you know, I was a bouncer and I'm, you know, I'm trained in martial arts. So it's a bit of a curse and a blessing, you know. You're always kind of, like, alert, you know. I'm super alert, like, I'm watching everything happening and, like, it's kind of tiring. And I have no sleep as well, so I'm a small bit kind of, like, off, you know. And next, these two guys appear. And they start heckling my dad, you know. They're like, hey, bud. And he's just there smoking his cigarette, kind of gazing off into the distance. He's just oblivious. Like, cause he just, as I said, he was really tough when he was young. So he could probably still swing a punch, you know, and that would be it. Like, but so there's no fair there. Like, but they're getting more and more aggressive, you know. And I'm like, fuck this, I have to go outside, you know. So I walk outside and I see that they're like, they're holding up like bags of spice, you know, the synthetic weed. And they're trying to sell him it, like. And one of them is like into me, says, one love, let's get together. And he's singing Bob Marley, like, and the other fellow just looks at me and goes, shut up, you langer. And I'm like, oh, God. And like, then they're getting like more aggressive, you know. And then the guy that's like singing, he just stops and he goes, yo, bruv, why are you smoking those for, bruv? You know, and he's on about the cigarettes in his partner. He's like, don't be a fucking fool, mate. And he's had an Australian accent about. He's like, they'll kill you, you know. He goes, he's like, smoke this stuff instead, mate. Smoke this stuff instead. And he's holding up the spice. And then my dad, like, who is the king of sarcasm, you know, and the king of comebacks, like, he just goes, takes a smoke out of the cigarette and he says, I ain't smoking these for 45 years and I'm still around. You're trying to sell me something that will kill me in 5 minutes and I'm the fucking fool. It was like, oh, and I couldn't help it. I started laughing, you know, and one of the guys that was like there, he actually started laughing as well. So that guy, the other guy really aggressive, you know, but like the thing with me is like I weigh up situations. So I'm looking and I'm thinking one guy is probably like about my height, you know, 5'11-ish, but the other guy's like 5'4". He's small and he's the more aggressive. And I'm thinking if he's that height and like I'm not a small, I have a good build. My dad has a big build and my uncle would have a big build. So I'm like, why would a guy like that want to like pick on people like this unless you have to be carrying something, you know? So I'm very cagey, like I'm just keeping distance from that. And so the taller guy points to the smaller guy and he says to my dad, he says, see him there? My dad goes, yeah, what about him? He goes, he's the most dangerous man in London. And my dad puts out his hand and he says, you just met the most dangerous man from Ireland. And I'm like, you fuck, it's getting funnier and more fucking dangerous. It's such a bizarre situation, no? And you guys get really, really kind of like, you know, they're probably, you know, zoomed up on the spice and it's making them edgy, you know? Because it does, like, from what I've seen, make you kind of twitching that, like, getting kind of twitchy, like. And then there's this kind of weird, fucking, really strange Clint Eastwood-esque kind of standoff. You know, he's smoking a cigarette, my dad, and he's looking at one guy and looking at the other guy. But the thing is, like, they're holding vodka bottles. They're kind of swinging these when they're talking. It's like, I'm like, fucking hell, no, as well as carrying something. I think, you know, one of them had a bottle. One of them had the bottle. I think it was a taller guy had a bottle. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. So he's just staring. And I'm like, fuck. And it's getting more and more kind of quiet and intense. And you can just hear nothing but the sirens and stuff around the place. But then a police car pulls up. And I'm thinking, yes. I'm like, yes, thank fuck. Thank fuck, you know, a bit of luck at last. And they just like leg it, like, you know. And I go, whoa. And like, whoa. And I said to my dad, and then like, thank fuck they pulled up, because they're, and he was like, I wasn't worried about the two of them at all. Fuck them. And I'm like, Jesus, like, he just doesn't give a shit. Like, so we make it back to the hotel. And I absolutely fall into bed, you know. It's probably like, I don't know, probably 3:30, maybe four, nearly 4 in the morning. Like, whoa, man, really tired. So the next morning I get up and I order a cab from the reception, you know. And like, this is it again. Here we go. So I said to the guy at the reception, I said, look, can I have a cab, please? And he says, like, how many of you are there? And I said, oh, 3. I said, we have luggage. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he said, no problem. And he keys it in. He says, yeah, the cab will be there in like a minute and a half. And I says, great. So I went outside and I was talking to the my dad and my uncle anyway, and I talked to them. And next we walked around the corner where the guy told us to go, of course. And I saw 3 guys getting into the cab. And I'm like, what the fuck? There's 3 guys from the other hotel, right, next to us. And they were getting a cab to wherever they were going. So, like, what are the chances now? We came out the door together. Well, you know, they came out the door before us from their hotel and took that cab. So I'm like, fuck. Cause, like, we were waiting there for another 5-6 minutes and there was nothing happening. So I was like, I went back into the hotel and I said it to the guy. I said, look, with that cab that you ordered us, it was taken. And then he called back the cab base and they're like, oh, we're not sending it anymore. And I'm like, oh God, because they, you know, they're losing money or something. And then he says, look, here's a number. Just call these ones and they'll come off you. And I'm like, can you call it for me? And he's like, no, no, no. He wouldn't call it for some reason, I don't know. So I went out anyway, and all of us were having problems with our phones for some reason, you know. I don't know what was going on. And I tried to phone and I couldn't. And I asked my dad and his phone was going down. All of us, the service was going up and down, and there was like probably, all in all, probably 12 of us over there, and our phones were just like, I don't know why. Anyway, so I said, all right, what I'm going to do is, if the lads took that cab, maybe if I go into the hotel next to it and get a cab. So I said, I go in and I said to the two lads, I go, I'll go in there and I'll just get it. And they go, yeah, yeah, go on. So I walks in and I said, all right, I'm going to pretend that I stayed here last night. That's what I'm going to do. So I walk up to the lady anyway, and I'm like, can I have a cab for, you know, and for I give her the address, and she says, yeah, no problem. And I go, okay. And she said, good night last night. And I go, yeah, great. And she's like, how many of you are there? And I says, oh, three. And I tell her where we're going. She's like, yeah. And there's a crowd kind of coming behind me, you know, there's people checking in and stuff. And I was like, oh, and like she says, I was waiting for her. She says, can you tell me your hotel room number? And I'm looking at her kind of going, fuck, I'm caught in my lie here. And I'm really caught here. And I'm like, and I just popped out, you know, when you're in them situations. Like, to be honest, I was down in that bar last night and I got smashed and I can't even remember the number of the door. And I said, I'm just so sorry, love. And she just looks at me and they're all kind of getting impatient with him. And she just busts her laugh. She says, no problem, love. And she said, I called the cab. So we got the cab anyway. And we made it back and we went for dinner and we hooked up with my two aunts and my two cousins and we had a great time and, you know, we all said our goodbyes and stuff and arranged to meet again in Ireland soon. So we decided then, my dad and my two uncles and me, we decided to go to the airport and my two aunts and my two cousins were to follow us. So we get there anyway and we're waiting for them and there's no sign of them. And we're like, fuck, what's going on here? And we're trying to call them and send them messages. The messages, no delivery reports. And I'm like, and it's getting, you know, tight. And I'm like, what the fuck? So then we see it. Or outside and we see a police car pulling up. And I'm like, what's going on here? I just caught my eye and is looking at this. And next I see my two aunts getting out, right? And my two cousins getting out of the police car. And we're like, what the hell did she do? We're like, what did she do? And they're looking at me and they're like shaking their head going, you are not going to believe this. And apparently what happened was the cab that they had got, right, this guy was driving them from my aunt's place to the airport, and your man was pulled over in one of those safety checks, right? And it wasn't the car, it wasn't the tires, it wasn't the bulbs, it wasn't the lamps, it wasn't anything. Do you know what it was? He was visually impaired and he was off the road. So there he is, right? With a big fucking pair of sunglasses, right? with the four of them in the car, driving down through London. And it, like, lads, the roads there are unreal, like the traffic and stuff. And there he is, like, and they said, like, they had no idea. Like, and he's chatting away to them. And he's pulled out and he's, like, nearly arrested or something, you know? And they're like, oh, the safety crowd is saying to them, this is just unbelievable. They said they'd never seen anything like it before. So they're like, after the three cabins incidents already, this is happening. And they go, oh my God. And we're just looking, saying, holy shit, can any more happen? And it did, of course, because we were flying with one of the airlines that our operator of Ireland, which are kind of known to be unreliable, to say the least. So, you know, they get you to bring your luggage into the plane, you know, you have to actually carry your luggage onto the plane. So I'm standing outside and it's really, you know, outside the terminal, and it's really, really warm evening as well, you know, it's probably up in England, it's probably like 26 Celsius now, it's really hot. And I'm standing there in a pants and a shirt, you know, and next this lady came towards me, an older lady, she's probably in her 70s, and she says, hi love, will you bring my case over to the airport, airplane? And I'm like, yeah, no problem, of course I will, because there's a big case as well, you know. And it's weird because I know that they save money for it, but like, it's just so, like, how was she supposed to do? So I took the case, but when I did, there was like another three ladies thought I was working for the airline, and they came over and they started dumping their cases in front of me, and I was too nice to say no. So I'm there and I loaded up with luggage and I'm walking across to the plane and I'm like, holy shit. Like, and they're like, oh, you're such a lovely boy, we didn't know that there was such lovely boys working for Ryanair. And I'm like, like a camel with all the fucking suitcases. And I got up to the plane and I just dumped them there and I'm like, oh. So I get on anyway. And the plane is actually delayed for an hour and three quarters in that heat. And the actual middle door was broken in the plane. It wouldn't open, which was kind of scary to think about. So the front of the plane was only had the door open. So it was absolutely boiling. They were waiting for a tow to tow the plane home, you know. Probably an hour and three quarters we waiting there. But eventually we flew home and I was just like, oh God. So I got home then. And I was absolutely wrecked because I probably had 6 hours sleep, I'd say, you know, in probably 2 days. And, you know, it was like, it was weird. It was very surreal because, like, I lived like a week or a week and a half in 2 days, you know, because it was just non-stop, like change of scenery, change of things happening, events happening, and like crazy shit happening, you know. So yeah, it was a very, very interesting experience. And it's typical of me as well, you know, every time I go anywhere, I mean, I can go on doing talks and rambles forever, like with the different countries I was in, and I have lots of stories to tell people, but like that's just typical of what happens to me with the situations I get into. And that's just a shortened you know, version of my very interesting roller coaster weekend in London. But hi London. Oh yeah. And I have to say, as I said, I really, really love the people. You know, I found them very kind of like lovable and kind of like open, and I got hugged so many times over there. It was like, whoa, everyone's just hugging everyone. It doesn't happen in Ireland at all. You know, no one hugs people in Ireland. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, oh yeah, keep your hands off me, dog. You know, it was just really nice to see it. So moving along, you know, last week I wanted to make this ramble because I wanted to talk about the solstice. Not so much the solstice, but I wanted to talk about an event that happens around it. You know, the solstice has passed, you know, but I'm really interested in that kind of stuff. I'm not too versed in Celtic mysticism, not too educated on it at all, but I do like to go to the places where these things, you know, took place, and I do like to get the sense of the people that lived there, you know, what were their struggles like, you know, how did they love, how did they celebrate, you know, how did they live? I just love that kind of stuff. And I love knowing that I'm standing in the same ground, I'm breathing the same air, I'm looking at the same streams, the same mountains. And if you get there, you really do get that sense of something. I don't know what it is. And I tried to translate that into the audio. I tried my best. I probably failed, but, you know, I did my best anyway. But we have another night around that. I think it's like 2 days later or maybe a day later. And it's probably passed down from that tradition, and it's called Bonfire Night. It's called Guy Fawkes Night in England. There's a different story behind that one, but over here we called Bonfire Night Bonna Night. All right, so it's Bonna Night. And Bonna Night in Ireland can be like totally crazy because you have people out in their numbers, you know, drinking around these fires, telling stories and stuff like that, and it can get kind of a bit mad as well, you know, so you want to be careful. But you know, the tradition probably lost its meaning down, you know, it waned and it just morphed into something completely mad. And it's crazy, as I said. So I was only thinking there last week, I was like you've loads of people gathered around the fires, right? And they're just feeding it with all furniture and stuff. And you'd always meet the most interesting and zany characters in that night. But the worst character by far that I ever met, the most crazy character, was a guy called Wild Bill the Liar. And he was the type of dude, right, that would turn up to your fires when you were younger and you'd be like, oh God. I mean, like, he was much older than us, right? But he was the type of dude that never got older, you know, and I mean like literally, because every bonfire night it would be his 21st birthday, and he'd turn up and he's like, it's my 21st birthday, I'm going to celebrate. And we're like, oh, for fuck's sake. But he would turn up dressed like a cowboy, and I mean like he had a fucking necktie, right? He had like the spurs, he had these skin tight like jeans, like, and a black like wife beater, you know, like beading around him, you know. He was like a fucking bullshit version of Garth Brooks or something like that. And he had like all these tattoos around his arm, and it was like, Bill loves Mary, Bill loves Deborah, Bill loves Jane. But the thing was, lads, he never had a girlfriend, so these tattoos were lies, you know. And he'd get very angry if you pressed him on it, you know, if you pushed, like, asked him any questions, he'd be like, he'd get really upset because, yeah. But he actually was writing, he was such a liar, he was actually tattooing his lies into his body when you think of it, like. But he would appear when the fire was roaring, you know, and it would be like a scene from a fucking western. And I mean, he'd often turn up on his horse. And I know what you're thinking, you know, you're thinking, ah, Gail, come on. But no, people actually, you know, you'd see people, a lot of people riding horses in Ireland, you know, down through the cities and stuff. Like in Limerick it's popular, and Dublin is popular. And Cork it's not as popular, but it does happen every now and again. But he would turn up like, and he would turn up in his cowboy gear. And oh God, but we were actually terrified of him, right? Because he was a bit of a bully, and he would like make us entertain him by, you know, making us like listen to his stories. And they were awful, like they were such bullshit. Like his ghost stories, like his kung fu stories, his skills, his romantic conquests that he had written in his arm, which were completely crap. He actually said that he lived in the north of Ireland when he was young, and there was a class of like 30 schoolboys, and they were all killed in Belfast in the Troubles. It was complete narahasha because it never happened. And it's amazing that he had none of their names tattooed in his arm, you know. But he'd go through every one of them and tell us about them, and we'd be like, oh. But we could never ever get rid of him. And he ruined many a bonfire night, you know. Like one bonfire night, right, he appeared and we were like having a great time, and he just said, lads, lads, I just spotted three-legged pigeons in a field 3 miles away. And we're like, oh. And he demanded that we go a walk and look for him. And there he is and his horse, he's nice and comfortable. And we're walking like, you know, 5 kilometres like to where they are. I'm like, oh God. And I don't have to tell you, right, we never found these elusive birds. They only came out of his imagination. And what an imagination it was, right? He used to tell us tales about, he could ride a submachine gun. He'd point a machine gun on the floor and sit on the handle and ride it like that. He'd know a machine gun, of course. He told us about the time he was being chased through the city on his horse. And his horse is like, you know, like 6 meters. And the cars are going underneath the horse because the horse is so big and the cops can't catch him. He had this magical machine that he called Arnold, and it was actually a robot, and he would say his name in that computer voice, in that robotic voice, like he would say, what do you think of my shirt? And you go, oh, it's okay. And you go, Arnold, pressed the shirt. But he would, the robot would press his clothes, fix his breakfast, and feed his tall horse, you know, and do other chores around the house. And he also told us about that he had a degree in American, and that he was going to end up teaching it in college, you know. And I know there's American in English and all that, but like Bill's American was like, how are you guys doing tonight? it was really bad. Like, you guys ready to party? It was horrible. And so we would sit around like and watch him drink beer after beer while he'd recount these dopey stories that he made up as he went along with all the plot holes you can imagine. And it was absolute fucking verbal waterboarding. That's all I can call it. But I have one true story about Billy, and Billy wouldn't like this story at all, you know, he just would hate it. So one bonfire night in particular, right, he turns up and he's slinging a bottle of Jameson's whiskey, and I'm like, oh fuck. And when he turned up, you know, if the lads saw him coming, they wouldn't say his name at all, they'd whistle and go, and we're all like, because you couldn't laugh and we get very upset. And we're like, oh fuck, another 21st, and because we knew like that, like a lot of times we wouldn't have to purple him because there would be other fires around the place, and he'd pick the best fire. But that was the problem, you know. Sometimes we'd be beaten, and it was a kind of catch 22 because if we built the best fire, we'd have Bill. If we didn't build the best fire, then we'd have people saying, "Ah, we had a better fire than us." So our egos were kind of like, you know. So sometimes people would share the pain, all right, you know. But he just like he just tie up his horse and he just talk and talk and talk. So anyway, he turns up with a bottle of whiskey, and he's got this like backpack. And in the backpack, he's got all his food, you know, all his sandwiches and stuff, because he is going to be out for the night if he's out at all. And he's doing the usual. He's telling us stories and he's drinking and he's drinking whiskey, but he's actually more drunk than usual. And he's slurring his words, you know. And, you know, towards the end of the night, he's like talking about his food, and he's on about like grilling the bread and making toast. He used to call it his like cowboy food. He has this like can of beans as well that he'd heat by the fire, and some sausages. But like, thankfully, he's really drunk, you know, and we're looking at him and we're all kind of giving each other the eye. So what we decide to do is kind of tap each other, like mosey on one by one, you know, disappear, because, you know, when people are drunk, they're not too aware of the surroundings and all, and things can change and they don't notice. So just like, this fella's just falling back out and walking away, and we're like, if we can all get away one by one. So then it comes down to about like 3 of us. And we can see that his eyes, like he's got like these shit eyes, you know, they're kind of like shut and open at the same time. The head is kind of wobbling around. And he's like a real cowboy by a fire, like. And then we just see the head going down. We're like, yes. And we get away. We sneak away. And we get back to our, you know, back to our estate, like. And we're like, oh, God, thank fuck. But I'm kind of feeling then, like, lads, like, we left him by a bonfire. Like, you know, what happens if a spark comes out and hits his spur, and the spur spins around and hits his head, and his head catches on fire or something and he burns, you know? So I said to the lads, like, we have to go back and at least pull him away from the fire or do something. And they're like, no, 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 we, you know, we not let him celebrate his 21st birthday and he's on. But I wouldn't have it. I was like, no, 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 just getting, my imagination was running wild, and I was saying, I just can't do it to him. So they reluctantly agree anyway. So we head back up to the fire. And we get there anyway, and we're looking, and there's no sign of him. And they're like, no, he's not there, he's not there. And he's like, no, there's no way he was able to get up like that quick. Has he seen the fucking fire or what? So we're walking up, but we're trying to be quiet as well in case the fucker woke up, you know. So we're walking up, and it's so quiet. sneaking up, and all we can hear is the sparks of the fire going off like that. And he's not there. And just as we get up behind it, we hear, and we go, whoa, we forgot about the fucking horse, you know. And his horse tied behind the wall in front of the fire. So we kind of snuck up and we wanted to check on the horse, he was all right. And we go up and we find it, lads. There's Wild Bill, right, on the ground, right, drunk, right, as 40 sailors, right, with his mouth open and the beans all over his face, right. And there's the horse licking his face, and no word of a lie, we were like, oh, we were dying, we were all like, keeping laughing. There's like 12 of us there, like, keeping the laughing. So one of my friends, he used to carry a marker around him everywhere because, you know, he was into graffiti. And so we walked up to him and he goes, give us something, get a camera phone. So one of the lads gets out a camera phone and he takes Bill's hand, and underneath, like, Bill loves Mary, Bill loves Jane, he writes down, and Bill loves Sandy, because Sandy is his horse. And they're like, you know, they're videoing it, like, and we were like in stitches. And it was so fucking funny because I swear this is the only kiss he ever got in his life. Nor mind say he got 21 kisses off his horse. And it was hilarious. He got the tongue and all off him, you know. But the beauty of it all was we actually sent the video to him the next day. And we told him, like, to give Bonfire Night a skip in future or the video will get out. So we actually got rid of Wild Bill that way. And it was just brilliant because that was the end of him. And I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, oh my God. I'd love to actually get the video again and see it. It's probably, like, you know, it's probably the funniest thing ever. But I haven't seen Wild Bill since anywhere. And but, you know, Bonfire Night was only last week. But I'm sure he was, like, travelling around in his horse annoying people still. So that's my Bonfire Night story anyway. And that's the conclusion of my little ramble fee. I hope you enjoyed it. Now, I want to say as well to everyone to, like, thanks very much for having the patience with me, because over the last few weeks, as I said, there was a lot of stuff happening, you know. It's one of these things, like, when it rains, it pours, and I was up the walls, I was really up the walls, and I was trying to get things sorted out, and just one thing happened after that, and I really, really appreciate your support and your understanding. And I'm getting back on my feet, and I'm going to really decorate my YouTube channel again. And so thanks again, lads. Now, for all of you on Patreon, tonight Queenie is being released. And for people that don't know who Queenie is, she's another mystical character that hangs around in Patreon. She's like a lizard queen. And she's very sexy. She's very sexy. She has a German accent as well. Very mysterious, very alluring. You know, she likes to allure ladies into a harem and, you know, make them into, like, you know, her little, I don't know, what would you call it? Her little sirens or something like that. And tonight she's making an appearance. She has an epic audio coming out. So it's going to be really fun. And I'm sure Queenie is going to get a good a bit of amusement from it. She might be a bit cranky as well. She can get cranky. So that's that. And yeah, just to say, look, thanks very much for everything. And mwah, I'll talk to you all soon, okay? With another ramble and more stories coming up. Bye-bye.